Morning, Church. As we continue our study sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are now in verses 9 to 12. Can I request everyone to please stand as we read God's Word together? Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 to 12 says here, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning, Lord, that once again we can gather in the name of Jesus, O God. And as we worship you this morning, Father, we pray, Lord, that may your Holy Spirit be the one to be at work in our midst, Lord. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you allow your word to be delivered with clarity, with anointing, and with power, O God. As your servant, I commit myself to you right now, Lord, that you may once again allow me to go beyond my preparations, O Lord, and you be the one to minister to each and every heart this morning, O God. So we thank you and we commit the sharing of your word into your loving hands in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, church, I've entitled today's sermon, "The Christian Conduct." Okay? As what Pastor TJ said last week, the last two chapters of 1 Thessalonians is basically a letter of instruction by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian church. So the last two chapters of 1 Thessalonians, we can see Paul here giving instructions to the Thessalonian believers about the do's and don'ts of being a Christian, right? Now, last week, Pastor TJ preached on holiness and purity, that as believers, we ought to live pure and holy lives, that as Christians, we ought to please God with the purity of our hearts. And in this same chapter, the Apostle Paul continues to teach the Thessalonian church. He continues to instruct them. And this time, he instructs them by encouraging them to continuously love one another and at the same time, live as mature and responsible believers. Okay? Now, the goal of my preaching this morning is quite simple, no? And in fact, I timed my message yesterday. I only preach for 45 minutes. No, my usual sermon is usually 1 hour, 1 hour, 10 minutes, but this is one of my shortest sermons. So when TJ gave us the preaching assignment, he gave me the shortest passage of our study because I think TJ thinks that I talk too much, no? Like what I'm doing now. Anyway, today I only have 4 simple points in my sermon, and I hope and pray that as you hear this sermon, as you go out of the church this morning, you will learn to live a healthy and balanced Christian life because that's the goal of my preaching this morning, to encourage you to live a healthy and balance Christian life, okay? Let's look at verse 9 right now, guys, and see what the Apostle Paul says here. It says here, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." Okay, first point. You can write this down if you're taking notes. Point number one, a true believer loves the body of Christ. Or a genuine disciple of Christ, a real Christian truly loves the church. If you're a believer, you would love your brothers and your sisters. Now, here in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, the Apostle Paul is like telling the Thessalonian church, you know what, guys? I don't have to give you a detailed instruction. I don't have to give you a step-by-step teaching on how to love one another because you guys, you are already doing it. You are loving one another. Now, verse 9 is actually a commendation by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian church. Kung sabi ni Saya, pagi abibahan niya, he was encouraging the Thessalonians because they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were loving one another. Again, verse 9 is a commendation by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian church. Now, although the Thessalonian church was far from perfect, but yet they are known to love one another. However, guys, I want us to underscore the words that the Apostle Paul here. He says, "For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." Taught by God. So in other words, the love that they're enjoying amongst each other is God thought. The love that they were showing, the affection that they were giving to one another is God thought. God was the one who inculcated this God thought love in the hearts of the Thessalonian believers. Through His Word, by His Spirit, it is God the one teaching them, inculcating in their hearts to just, you know, be affectionate towards one another. And what's true for them is also true for us. Meaning to say, if you are a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a true blue born again Christian, you will truly love the church of Jesus Christ. If you are a genuine believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be impossible for you to stay indifferent to the body of Christ. Now guys, you cannot go on living your Christian life nga walay paki sa imong brothers and sisters. You cannot go on living your Christian life nga walay paki sa simbahan. Because through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, if you are a genuine believer, you will be God-taught to love one another. You will be God-taught to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, church, how many of you realize that the house of God is a house of love? It's a place where you will receive love and affection from your fellow brothers and sisters. It's a place where you will be nurtured by the love of God. And it's also a place where you can express love, where you can express your love for the body of Christ. Again, the house of God is supposed to be a house of love. Now, you cannot go on living your Christian life in an island. Why? Because love is simply expressed. I mean, you cannot, Valentine's na, di ba, this Tuesday, you can't just say to your wife, husbands, no, you can't just say to your wife, hon, I love you, but yet you don't express your love. You don't do anything on Valentine's Day. You'll be in trouble for the rest of the year, right? Because love is expressed. Now imagine this, guys. What if we read John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What if we read that verse and Jesus didn't do anything? He stayed in heaven and never left His throne. I mean, we wouldn't feel the love, right? Because love is expressed. And the point is this, guys. You will never be able to express your love to the church, to the body of Christ, if you are indifferent to the body of Christ. Now, some years ago, before Michelle and I, before we got married, no, there was a point when we started to take our Christian faith seriously. No, we started to read our Bible more. We started to sought after the Lord more. In other words, we started to take our Christian faith seriously. And during that time, deep within us, there was a sense of a general affection to the body of Christ. And it was a genuine affection because it moved Michelle and myself to, support some pastors, support some missionaries. And there was within us just a affection for the body of Christ, no, for our brothers and sisters. But the problem was, during that time, we never committed ourselves to a community of faith. Wala may commitment to any church. We didn't have any commitment to any fellowship. Our Christianity was only expressed by attending Sunday service and sometimes attend some home Bible studies. But for us, that was all to our Christian faith. So, because of that, we were like Lone Ranger Christians, no? There was no support, there was no accountability, and so on and so forth. And as a result of that, we ended up still hanging out with our non-Christian friends. Okay, and the thing is this, guys. If the Bible tells us bad company corrupts a good character, right? So during that time, yes, we were real Christians, but since we didn't have a community of faith, we don't have kanang close nga mga brothers and sisters in the Lord, so we still went to the places where we're not supposed to go because our friends went there. So we ended up, we still go party, we still drink, and there was no growth in our Christian faith. We remained stagnant because we never committed ourselves into a local community of faith. Now, it was not until we committed ourselves into a Young Pro Fellowship from our previous church, and there we began to experience the love of the body of Christ. There, we also began to be able to express our love for the body, for the congregation, or for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, it was only during that time that we had that sense of accountability. And when we needed encouragement, we were encouraged by our brothers and sisters. And when we needed prayers, people were praying for us. And it was also there that we were able to encourage our brothers and sisters. We were able to pray for them. In other words, it was there that we had a Christ-centered fellowship. And through that, we were discipled, we were held accountable, and our Christian faith began to grow. Now, guys, let me just tell you this. One important ingredient in our growth as a Christian is a community of faith, is belonging to a fellowship, is fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. Why? Because if you really love the body of Christ, you would want to be with the body of Christ, right? You would want to enjoy the fellowship of your brothers and sisters. Again, point number one, if you are a genuine born-again believer, a true disciple of Christ, you would love the body of Christ. Now, let me just go off topic for a while, no? Okay, tabian man ko. Off topic for a while. Now, guys, if you still do not have yet any fellowship ba, let me encourage you to look for one. Join a local fellowship, join an MD group, a cell group, or whatever, because it's for your own good, and it's for the growth of your Christian faith, okay? So point number one, a real believer loves the body of Christ. So if you love the body of Christ, good for you, because you truly belong to that body, amen? Now, point number two, let's look at verse 10. Verse 10, it says here, "For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." Okay? Now, point number two, a God-taught love selflessly reaches out. All right? Now, a God-taught love is selfless and it reaches out. It reaches out. Now, again, in verse 9, Paul was commending the Thessalonian believers for their love for one another. But yet here in verse 10, Paul says that their love for each other went beyond the four walls of the church of the Thessalonian church. Because Paul says they loved the brothers throughout all Macedonia. No? Now, Thessalonica or Thessalonian church is located in Macedonia, no? Mura siya kung sa tong context pa. Living Word IT Park is in IT Park. It's in Cebu City. And mura sa nadiri, no? The Thessalonian church is in Thessalonica. But Thessalonica is located in Macedonia. And Paul says, not only did you love the brothers in Thessalonica, but you love the brothers throughout Macedonia. Kung sa ato paning context, may ingon siya si Paul, you not only love the brothers in Living Word IT Park, but you love the brothers throughout all of Cebu. Get what I'm saying? Now, guys, a God-taught love is selfless and it reaches out. Now, to help us appreciate this verse more, let me give you a picture of the Thessalonian church. No? Now, Thessalonica, the place where the Thessalonian church was, it was quite hostile to the Thessalonian church. During this time, the Thessalonian believers were going through a lot of persecution. Now, some of them had their property seized. Giembargohan sila og property simply because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the businessmen, the workers there, they were stopped from practicing their trade because they were Christians. And during that time, when you become a Christian, they were shunned by their families. Some of them were insulted, and some of them were even put to death. But yet, in spite of the hostility that they were facing, the Thessalonian church, that didn't stop their love. That didn't stop the Thessalonian church from expressing their love throughout the brothers in all Macedonia. And the point is this, guys. The Thessalonian church have a tormenting problem of their own. But yet, that did not stop them from loving the body of Christ beyond the four walls of their church. No? Now, they themselves, they needed support. They themselves, they needed encouragement. They themselves, they needed love, if you may. But yet, that did not stop them from giving out love. Why? Because a God-taught love is selfless. And a God-taught love reaches out. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we can read there that during the time there was a time that the Christians in Judea were going through a hard, difficult crisis, no? And Paul writes that one of those who responded to their needs were the brothers from Macedonia, the Thessalonian church included. Now again, during that time, they were facing persecution. They were facing problem. But yet, they selflessly gave out and reached out to the brothers and sisters who are in need, no? Selfless, and it reaches out. That's the point of a God-taught love, no? Now, in February of 2011, my uncle Sergio, the younger brother of my dad, he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And this uncle of mine was a devout Santo Niño believer, or he's a Santo Niño devotee. And guys, if you've ever encountered a Santo Niño devotee, you'll know that they're one of the hardest people to share the gospel to, right? Okay, para nila, nag-worship naman sa Jesus, but Santo Niño is not Jesus at all, right? Anyway, my uncle was a Santo Niño devotee, and in 2011, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So during that time, his family decided that he's going to seek treatment in Singapore because they wanted the best treatment for him, no? Now, the family's initial plan was they will rent an apartment in Singapore during the time where my uncle stays there for his treatment. They plan to rent an apartment. But the problem was, property rental in Singapore is super expensive. I mean, Singapore has one of the most expensive property rentals in the world, right? Now, when Brother Mike Pua, can we flash his picture, okay? When Brother Mike Pua, a Singaporean friend of my cousin, one of the daughters of my uncle who had cancer, when Brother Mike Pua learned that my uncle was going to have treatment in Singapore, despite of his busy schedule, and mind you, he's one busy man, despite of his busy schedule, he went out of his way and he talked to the elders and deacons of True Way Presbyterian Church, and he asked them if my uncle would be allowed to stay in their church parsonage. Okay, wa man to gigamit ang parsonage during that time. He asked the elders and the deacons if my uncle would be allowed to stay in the church parsonage while my uncle has his treatment in Singapore. And praise God, the elders and deacons, they readily agreed. So my uncle and auntie, they got to stay in the church parsonage totally free of charge. And guys, this saved them a lot of money, no? Considering my uncle is still going to have that chemo treatment ba. Now, this gesture by Brother Mike, it touched my auntie and uncle so much. And you must remember that during this time, they were still both unbelievers. And again, my uncle was a hardcore Santo Niño devotee. Now, during their stay in Singapore, Mike and his wife, they would see to it, no? They would get out of their routine, they would get out of their kanang daily schedules, and they see to it that they get to visit my uncle and auntie every now and then. And from time to time, some elders of the church did the same. They went to my uncle and auntie to just, befriend them, chit-chat with them. Kumusta lang ba? How are you? How are you doing? And of course, share the word of God, pray for them, and just simply had fellowship with them. I mean, Mike and his wife May, they simply showed my uncle what Christian love is all about. And church, mind you, this went on for months. It was not just weeks, it was not just 1, 2, 3 months. This went on for many months, no? The food, the conversation, the fellowship, the prayer. I mean, Brother Mike and Sister May would selflessly get out of their routine just to show love and care to my uncle Sergio and my wife, and his wife Teresita, my auntie. Now, guys, you have to understand that Mike is not even related to my uncle. My uncle is not even his barkada. He's not even part of his fellowship or his cell group or his D group. Not even part of their church. But yet, they chose to extend the love of Christ to my uncle and auntie anyway. And again, this went on for months. Now, sadly, my uncle's health condition deteriorated. Sometime around August, his cancer went from bad to worse. But you know what, church? Something wonderful happened. Weeks before my uncle passed away, he voluntarily removed his Santo Niño necklace, which he wore for the longest time. 24/7 being a Santo Niño devotee, it never left his body. But at that point, because of the discipleship of Brother Mike, he voluntarily, you know, took off his Santo Niño necklace. And in August 12, 2011, my uncle declared his total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because on August 12 of 2011, my uncle was baptized on his hospital bed and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise for that. Hallelujah. So 2 days later, after he was baptized, my uncle went home to be with the Lord. Now guys, days after that, my auntie came back to Cebu, came back home. And while we had the funeral arrangements here in Cebu, Mike, Brother Mike, from his own pocket, no sponsors, no whatsoever, from his own pocket, he bought a plane ticket and followed my auntie here to Cebu just to minister to her. Just, you know, just to be with her, be a friend, and just grieve with my auntie who was grieving. And again, church, this gesture moved my auntie to the core. That she too surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was baptized before my uncle was buried. Now guys, a God-taught love is selfless. A God-taught love reaches out. And Brother Mike here is a wonderful example of what a God-taught love is all about. It goes out of, you know, you go out of your convenience, you go out of your comfort zone, out of your routine, to reach out, to express, to show the love of Jesus. No? So, you know, guys, one of the things the pastoral team here in Living Word IT Park, one of the visions we have for our church is that we would simply be a blessing to the body of Christ here in Cebu. No? Regardless of the denomination, whatever church name or affiliation you belong to, as long as igsuon ta sa Ginoo, we would just want to bless you. We want to partner with you for the work of the gospel. No? Because a Christ-taught love, a God-taught love is selfless and it reaches out. Last December, through the efforts of Pastor Jed and the missions team, we were able to minister and bless a handful of pastors from the mountain barangays. Ato sila gigather diri sa tong center. We ministered to them. We ministered the word of God to them and gave them some financial help and gave them some goods that they can bring back home. Because again, guys, one of our visions is that we want to be a blessing to the body of Christ here in Cebu. Right? Now, Paul says here in verse 10, Insha, we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. No? Reaching out, loving beyond the walls. Now, Paul is telling us that we are to grow in this practice. Now, that we have to grow in this area of in our Christian life. Ba? So again, if you guys here, some of you here, you do not have any fellowship yet, you do not have any MD group yet, I encourage you to join one. Because it is there where you will begin to grow in your Christian walk. However, I also want to say this. If you are already part of a fellowship here in church, if you are already part of a cell group or an MD group, do not limit the expression of your love just within your cell group or just among your cell group members. Reach out. Go beyond your cell group. Let us go beyond the four walls of Living Word IT Park. Let us reach out. No, reach out and just love the brothers and sisters, if I may, throughout whole Cebu, throughout whole Philippines, throughout whole the world. Amen? Because a God-taught love is selfless and it reaches out. So that's point number two. Point number three. Let's go back to scriptures, verse 11. Let's read verse 11. It says here, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. No? Now, point number three, a true believer is morally and socially responsible. Let me say that again. A true believer is morally and socially responsible. Here in verse 11, the Apostle Paul now shifts his focus from loving one another into teaching them on how they should behave as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order for us to get the gist of what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach the Thessalonian church here, let me give you a little background about the Thessalonian church, okay? Now, some of the brethren here in the Thessalonian church actually had a misplaced zeal about the second coming of Christ, no? They thought that Jesus Christ was coming back during their time. They were thinking, happy tagyud kaayo mubalik si Jesus during their time. As a result, some of them stopped working, some of them sold their properties, some of them sold their businesses, and they ended up as bum. Wala na sila gibuhat, nahimo silang tambay, no? And some of them, they were just plainly lazy, okay? They just don't want to work. So the thing is, those people who stopped working and those lazy Christians in the Thessalonian church, they ended up being a liability to the church, no? And because of this, guys, two problems arose within the Thessalonian church. Now, the first problem was, these non-working Christians, katong nangundang og trabaho, katong nangundang og make business, and those who were plainly lazy, they became meddlers and gossipers. Because they were not working, they had so much idle time with them. So, you know, they became like what these people are described in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Can we flash it? 1 Timothy 5:13 says here, they will learn to be lazy, will spend time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business, and talking about things they shouldn't. So some of the Christians in the Thessalonian church became Marites level 1 million. No, mga bakakon, mga chismosa, alamiro, alamira. No, because they had too much idle time. And now they were doing things that they were not supposed to do. And this actually turned off some unbelievers from the Thessalonian church. Unbelievers were scoffing at the Thessalonian church because of these meddlers, because of these gossipers within the church. So that was the first problem. Now the second problem was, some of them, they abused the love of the brethren. They abused the love of the Thessalonian church. Although they were able bodies, no? But yet they were receiving support from the Thessalonian church because they were not working anymore. They don't have any income. No? So they were receiving the support from the Thessalonian church. In other words, daghan bagagnaong sa Thessalonian church. No? They were abusing the love and the goodness of the church unto them. I mean, guys, don't get me wrong. One of our responsibilities as a church is to support a brother or sister in need. But this was not the case in the Thessalonian church because some of them, they were just plainly taking advantage of the goodness of others. And sad to say, this is still happening today in the church. No? Now, Brother Bill, his dad, I know his dad is supporting kanang student ba to go to school. And I was quite surprised when I learned about that news that he told me, sir, because Bill calls me sir, we call each other sir. Sir, my dad is supporting this kid to go to school. And I was quite surprised that this is happening because I know the parents of this kid, no? Of this child. In fact, the parents just bought a top-of-the-line, high-end Fortuner from me. They could very much well afford to send their kids to school. But yet, it was Bill's dad who was sending, you know, nalangi uban brothers and sisters who take advantage of the goodness of the church, of the goodness of fellow believers. Na yung mga brothers and sisters, kaganahan lang yun mangutang. No? Basi di kailangan mangutang, mangutang. No? They borrow money and don't have the intention to pay back. Again, guys, a true believer, a genuine follower of Christ, you should be morally responsible. You don't do these kinds of things. And the thing is this, as I was studying this verse, as I was studying this passage, there's actually a very wise principle that we can learn from this verse, no? Somebody's rapping. Should I start rapping now? Anyway, as I was studying this verse, there's actually a very wise principle we can learn from here. And that is, if we do not do what we're supposed to do, we will end up doing the wrong things. No, like the Thessalonian believers, they were supposed to work, but they were not working. That's why they ended up doing the wrong things. Now, please turn your Bibles for a moment to 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1. No, to give you an illustration of this point. Let's read 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. Says here, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out into battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now, David remained at Jerusalem. The Bible says it was supposed to be time of the year where kings go into battle. It was supposed to be time of the year where David goes out with his troop and lead them into battle. But yet, he did not do what he was supposed to do. He remained in Jerusalem, no? Napabilin siya sa Jerusalem. Now, guys, do you know what happened after this? No? It was in the same passage that David committed adultery. So he was supposed to go into the battle, but he was relaxing in his palace. One afternoon, he went out and he saw a lady who loves to take a bath. That's why she's called Bathsheba, no? And then, you know the history, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He committed murder and so on and so forth. And because of that adultery, guys, David's house was totally destroyed. It was never the same again. Again, if you do not do the things that you're supposed to do, you can end up doing the wrong things and the results can be devastating. It can be devastating. Now, church, laziness and Christianity never go hand in hand. In fact, the Bible clearly tells us that if you do not eat, you do not have the right. If you do not work, you do not have the right to eat. No? Because, you know, I really don't subscribe in the idea of Christians, able-bodied Christians, not working. Now, how many of you here knows Brother Ratrat from our Cebuano service? Nobody? Now, Brother Ratrat is paralyzed from the waist down. No, he's paralyzed. Mag-wheelchair. Wherever he goes, he needs a wheelchair. But do you know that Brother Ratrat sells water beside Pungko Pungko diya sa JY Square just so he could make his life productive? I mean, guys, a person who's paralyzed waist down and still yet he's working hard. His life is being productive. And not only that, he also shares the gospel to the people where he's selling water. So I really don't subscribe to the idea of able-bodied Christians and yet not working. Okay? So that's point number three. A true believer is morally responsible. You don't gossip. You don't meddle. And by the way, if you're just going to do what you're supposed to do, you won't have time for these things. No? So a genuine believer is morally responsible. You don't take advantage of your brothers and sisters in the church. At the same time, you're socially responsible. You work hard. You become productive with your life so that you will be dependent on no one. So that's point number three. A true believer is morally and socially responsible. Now, last point, let's look at verse 12. Paul continues to say to the Thessalonian church, he says, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Okay, point number four, a believer must be reputable. Okay, you must have a good reputation. A follower of Christ must be reputable. Now again, church, the drama and circus of verse 11 actually caused some unbelievers in Thessalonica to scoff at the church. The non-working, gossip-breeding meddlers of the Thessalonian church actually turned off unbelievers from the church. And again, what's true for them is also true for us. How we live our lives, how we conduct our affairs would either draw people to Christ or would drive them away. Now guys, it took a while for my dad to become a Christian. It took a long while for my dad to come to Christ. Because he knows of so many professing Christians who have shady businesses. And he always uses that as an excuse. The moment somebody shares the gospel to him, he'll say, ah, look at this, look at him, look at, see what they're Christians, but look at what they're doing. So it took my dad a while before he became a Christian. And my dad also knew the ugliness of church politics that was going on, that was happening within the Chinese Christian church during that time. And he always uses that as an excuse. Every time he shared the gospel to, he'll say, ah, this so-and-so is power playing in church, that so-and-so is power playing in church. So it turns him off from Christianity. But praise God, by God's grace, Christian na kong father, no? And I thank God for that. But the point is this, the way we conduct our lives, the way we live our lives can either draw people to Christ or drive them out. Now, Mahatma Gandhi, a well-loved Indian revolutionary leader, once said, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Now guys, Gandhi was turned off with Christianity because of how some Christian brethren were behaving. And this is one of the biggest what ifs in Christianity, guys. What if Gandhi became a believer? Maybe a huge population of India right now could have been Christians. No? A huge population of India right now could have been Christian. Now again, how we behave, how we conduct our affairs would either draw people to Christ or will drive them away. Now I would like to close with this story. This is Wieden King. Okay? Now Wieden King is one of the most influential tycoon in Manila. And when I say influential, I'm not just talking about his business influence, but more so about his Christian faith. Now, Mr. King is an heir to a motel chain empire, the Anito Group of Motels. No? In the late 80s to the early 90s, they would have a gross revenue of 2 million pesos per day. They serve around 11,000 customers per day. Okay? So big time goodness, yeah. No? 2 million pesos a day. That's bigger than Lotto. No? Now, before he became a Christian, being a wealthy man that he was, he indulged himself with all sorts of immorality, particularly womanizing. And not only that, he bribed government authorities, he bribed government agencies to promote his motel and turn a blind eye so that his motel can keep on operating. Now, in 1992, praise God, he became a Christian. When he became a Christian, he knew that he could no longer continue to do the things that he was doing. Obviously, his vices. He knew that he cannot go on womanizing. He cannot go on, you know, living that kind of lifestyle. So, he stopped all of those things. At the same time, he also stopped his bribing because it was against his Christian principle. And finally, he also taught himself that, you know, I cannot go on operating these motels. So, against all odds, as hard as it was, he went all out for Jesus and closed down all his motels. Now, guys, closing down all his motels, meaning to say he's going to lose 2 million pesos per day. That's a lot of money. Don't you agree? No? So, he said, when he became a Christian, he was thinking, I couldn't say that I wasn't accountable for the things that was going on inside the premises of my motel. The hotel itself was really designed to promote illicit affairs, may it be marital, extramarital, or premarital. So he was taking accountability of the things that's going on in his life. So what he did, the very first motel he closed was his flagship motel in Pasay City. Can we show the picture? This was his cash cow, if you can see. He closed down his motel, his flagship motel, and he placed a very big banner, close for the glory of God. No? Close for the glory of God. Now, years later, he put up all his, you know, hotel business for sale after closing them down. Because he was thinking he doesn't want to pursue this kind of business any longer. But so he listed them for sale. But the thing was, none of the offers match his expected selling price. In other words, they were not sold. The properties were not sold. So he thought to himself, why don't I just continue operating this business? And this time, I would do it for the glory of God. This time, I would do it with Christian and with biblical principles. So that's what he did. He rebranded and changed his entire business model, no? From motels, he turned them into wholesome family hotels. From 1998 to 2008, he turned over his former Anito motels to, you know, to Cabayan hotels and many other hotels. And this time, Bible study was mandatory for all the employees. And again, this guy has around 2,000 employees. 2,000 souls planted with the gospel, no? And during this time, kanang everything he does, he always inculcate the word of God to it. Now, one of the things that he opened was motel for married couples. Now, he was thinking, maybe we live in the Philippines, there are some couple here that don't have privacy at home because they have so many kids. Maybe I can offer a place where they could have intimate time together. So he opened such motel, no? And when you go into that motel, the very first thing they ask you is your marriage contract, no? And not only that, guys, there are pastors standby diha sa motel. That if you need marriage counseling, pastors will be there to pray for you, to counsel you. If you want to renew your vows, there, the pastor can officiate it for you as well. So he started to do everything with godly principles from the Bible. And today, guys, Wyden King is one of the most influential business leaders in our nation. And not only influential as a businessman, but as a Christian. Through him, a lot of people are drawn closer to our glorious Savior. You know why? Because he's a person of integrity. He's a person with good reputation. And that's what Paul is talking about, guys. How we live our life, how we conduct our affairs would either draw people to Christ or it will drive them away. So there you go. Four simple points. Four very simple principles that would help you live a balanced and healthy Christian life. Okay? Recap. Number one, a believer loves the body of Christ. And if you love the body of Christ, you would want to be with the body of Christ, right? Love is expressed, no? You cannot simply say to your brothers, sisters, you love them, but yet you don't want to be with them. You can say to the body of Christ, you can say to the church, I love my church, but you're not involved in the church. Because love is expressed, okay? Now, a genuine believer loves the body of Christ. Number two, a God-taught love selflessly reaches out. A God-taught love, you know, you become selfless and you reach out. You love the body of Christ beyond your convenience, beyond geographical convenience, beyond, you know, beyond the four walls of the church. Number three, a believer must be morally responsible. You don't take advantage. You don't gossip. You don't meddle, no? And you are socially responsible as well. You work hard. You become productive with your life so that you will be dependent on no one. And lastly, a believer must be reputable. You must have integrity. You must have a good reputation. So four simple points. I hope you were blessed with the sharing this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all, if you want to clap, give the Lord a clap of praise. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, church. Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the sharing of your word this morning. Father, we pray that more and more you help us, O God, to love your body here, Lord, in Cebu, in Living Word IT Park, to just basically, Lord, bless the body, O God. Father, we pray that we will be responsible Christians, O God, that, Lord, our lives will truly be kind of salt and light, O Lord. And until the day, O God, you bring us home to be with you, Lord, we humbly ask, Lord, that you just allow us, O God, to gaze upon your beauty and majesty, O Lord. And whatever has been done and accomplished this morning, we just want to give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.